Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
We're very excited to have Corey Finley, the director of Bad Education, on the line with us right now from Manhattan. Corey, welcome to Singapore. Welcome to Money FM.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's great to have you on with us. And this story, for those of our audience who aren't familiar with it yet, and we're hoping they get familiar right away, is the real-life story of a high school in Roslyn on Long Island in New York. It was the largest case of malappropriation of funds in U.S. public school history. Tell us a little bit more about the background on this story.
So back in 2002 to 2004 was when this whole scandal sort of unfolded. And there was a gentleman by the name of Frank Tassone, who was the superintendent of the Roslyn, Long Island, New York school district. So kind of a wealthy community outside of New York City. And he ran the entire school district. And he was, in many ways, a very successful superintendent. And under his leadership, the district became one of the top school districts by many measures in all of the U.S. But during this whole time, as he was kind of leading the school district to great success, it gradually came out that he was also involved in embezzling a large amount of money from the school, from the taxpayer-supported school system, he and several people working under him. And it came out in kind of a very sensational, wild manner. Over $11 million, so an enormous chunk of cash, was embezzled by this group. And I thought it was just a really crazy, kind of complicated story, and one that was really well told by our screenwriter, Mike Makowski, who was actually a student at the school when this all took place. He was in his early teens, I believe, at the time.
We're talking with Corey Finley, the director of the magnificent Bad Education, currently showing on HBO and HBO Go across Asia. Now, Corey, your previous movie, your debut feature, was Thoroughbreds, which you wrote and directed, which was also, interestingly, about two high school students. So there's a slight high school connection there with both movies. What was it that drew you to this particular project?
Well, I think it was kind of hard to categorize and unlike anything else that I was looking at the time. So I finished Thoroughbreds, and, you know, Hollywood has a tendency to typecast both its actors and its filmmakers. And Thoroughbreds was about sort of a murder plot between these two well-to-do high school students. And I was getting a lot of scripts and TV shows and projects sent in that were about, you know, girls murdering people and putting it on Instagram and that kind of thing. And I was relieved to get a script that was about a true story, the one that I just told you about, that I had never heard about at the time. And it just had a really interesting, specific tone that was kind of a mix between comedy and tragedy. And I thought it walked that tightrope really well. And it was an interesting challenge for me as a director to control that tone, and just a fascinating character study, I thought.
Talking with Corey Finley, the director of the HBO movie Bad Education. And Corey, this film, we should mention, is not for the family and not for the young children. There are, you know, quite a number of adult themes in here. And though the actors in it are very appealing to many age groups, this is definitely a film for adults. You know, your stars, Hugh Jackman, Allison Janney, Ray Romano. I mean, these are, you know, real A-listers that you got as a second time, you know, feature director. How did you get this cast together? Because it is truly a wonderful ensemble cast that brings this film to life, and amazing performance by Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he's really tremendous. And you know, I still don't know how we convinced all these incredible actors to do the movie to some degree, but I think it was kind of a just a right time, right place sort of thing. And you know, what was so critical in casting this key role was, this is a man that, you know, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say ultimately was a criminal, but also was a real kind of educator at heart. I thought the movie would be way too simple and not satisfying if it was just the story of kind of a straightforward con artist. I think we've seen that many times. And I was really interested in how this guy was full of contradictions, and I was really interested in taking the audience on a ride where you really do understand what's so successful about this guy as an educator, and you're able to invest in that emotionally before the reveals about the other parts of his life start hitting.
And Hugh Jackman does play those contradictions beautifully, doesn't he? I mean, at first you think he's just the best guy in the world.
Exactly. And I was going to say, I mean, we made a list of actors that that would be perfect for that role, and Hugh was top of the list, and we thought he was, you know, potentially out of our league, but was just such a wonderful actor and has been playing heroes for so long now. So it's really fun to be able to kind of subvert that identity and have him play a more complex character.
And just on that point, because as a writer myself, I was absolutely fascinated of the nuance and the subtlety that he brought out in this performance. He's greedy, yes, but he's not Gordon Gekko in Wall Street. He's flamboyant, yes, but he's not, say, Jordan Belfont in The Wolf of Wall Street. And I think you've somehow pulled the best of his almost resume. You know, there's elements of that underlying aggression, so, you know, passive aggression of, say, Logan, but you've also got the flamboyance of The Greatest Showman. You know, as a second-time director yourself, how did you get what I genuinely believe is the performance of Hugh Jackman's career? As a director, how did you do that?
Oh, well, I'm so gratified to hear you say that, but I think, I mean, Hugh does an enormous amount of preparation, and he's famous partly for the amount of kind of physical preparation that he brings to roles like Wolverine, where he just has innovated as far as how ripped and jacked superheroes can be on screen. But he brings just as much effort to kind of preparing for these sort of subtler emotional moments. And he did just a mountain of research about the real person, about, you know, specifically how American school districts operate, as an Australian himself, and just completely dove into this world. And I think Mike's script and just the kind of fascinating real world story helped him to kind of bring out those layers of complexity.
And just on that point, was Hugh Jackman on first, and then that helped you to get the likes of Alison Janney and Ray Romano involved once they knew Hugh had signed up? I mean, how did it work that you managed to corral so many A-listers, as Glenn pointed out?
Yeah, it's exactly that. Hugh was sort of the first one in. He took that that leap of faith, and that made the rest of the casting process much, much easier. And I think it's often that kind of snowball effect when you can get a really great actor with an awesome reputation, someone that people know is just a delight to work with. It's a real magnet for other actors like Allison and Ray and the rest of the cast.
That's an interesting point. Now, we're speaking to Corey Finley, director of the HBO movie Bad Education. You know, we mentioned Hugh and Allison and Ray Romano, the big names, but the rest of the cast, you know, they might be actors and actresses that we don't really recognize. Maybe we haven't seen them before, but they all put in very, very, you know, appropriate, really great performances. Were you? How did you find the rest of the cast? Were they actors that you knew, or, you know, did you do a general kind of casting call? Because the rest of the ensemble really plays, they all play their roles individually just beautifully.
And can I just jump in and say that the young girl that you get who plays the investigative Geraldine, she was magnificent as well. So just to follow up, how did you get all that cast together?
Well, about Geraldine specifically, she's just incredible. She was in a movie called Blockers recently, a very sort of a broad but lovely teen comedy, and she kind of stole that movie, I thought. And she and Hugh were both Australian actors in a Long Island movie, so it was one of the most Australian New York movies that anyone's seen in a long time. But as to your question about the cast as a whole, I worked with an amazing casting director named Ellen Lewis and her associate Kate Sprance, and they're probably best known for working with Martin Scorsese. So they have a real talent for kind of populating these movie worlds in a way that feels very regionally specific, and just kind of bringing a cast that all feel like they're in the same movie. They have the same kind of sensibility. And we worked with a bunch of stage actors, particularly. I come from playwriting. That's how I got into film. And I do love actors that have sort of a basis in the theater. I think that's just an amazing sort of, you know, training ground. And it just lets you see so many angles to an actor and their performance that you don't get in film and TV.
There are so many kind of pivotal moments in the movie from my perspective. Is there one moment in the movie that you really liked from a director's point of view, either to direct or the moment that you thought the ensemble really gave a standout performance for the audience?
Yeah, there were a couple. I think the one of the scenes where that really just sort of felt electric on the day. It's hard to get too much into it without getting into spoiler territory, but it's a scene early on where Allison Janney's character Pam, she's kind of the first part of this kind of corrupt administration to be discovered, and there's an interesting section in the middle where Frank or Hugh's character is trying to contain that scandal, and the board speaks to Allison and kind of issues her an ultimatum. And it's just a very, very layered scene. I always loved it in the script because the two characters have different amounts of sort of secret knowledge, and the audience at that point in the movie isn't sure exactly who knows what.
Right.
And it's my favorite sort of acting. We really just got to play a lot with kind of micro facial expressions and little signals and subtext.
That's great, because that ties in perfectly with my next question, was what I love about this film. There are so many layers to this film, but we're talking about a true story, which, of course, was the largest public school embezzlement in American history. But those layers, Singaporean audiences will really identify with those layers. For example, the fallout from the scene you're talking about, where Ray Romano and the rest of the school management committee are all together and they're worrying about the reputation, the property prices, the school placings, the grades. That's such an identifiable trait in all parents worldwide. And you play the comedy in those moments beautifully. Was that something that you really tried to bring out, that sly social commentary and the humor that comes with it?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's satire can be such a tricky tone, because if you sort of engage too sort of intellectually with an audience, you can lose the emotional, if it starts to be like social commentary above all else, you can lose the emotional investment in the characters. So that layer was definitely there in the script, and this sort of sly reference to these larger systems that in some ways enabled this type of corruption. But I liked that it was just that. It was a layer, and we had this really, sort of emotionally complex layer of human drama on top of that as well.
Talking with Corey Finley, the director of the new HBO movie Bad Education, also the director of a movie a couple of years back called Thoroughbreds. And Corey, as we look at the broader filmmaking industry now, HBO and Netflix and all of Amazon, all the online studios are really coming into their own and experiencing great success due to the fact that so many people have been spending so much time watching TV lately. As a director, how has that impacted you? Has that made your world a little bit easier because there's more options for you and you don't have to go through just a traditional big studio system? Or what exactly has that meant for young and upcoming directors like yourself?
It's such a good question, and it's a complicated one. And I think the landscape is definitely different. There are more sort of big distributors looking for original stories to put out there, which is awesome. We're also in a time where, for all kinds of reasons, kind of traditional theatrical exhibition is less and less of a sure model, I think. So it's just something to navigate. And I think as a director, there's kind of different roles in TV, which in many ways I think still is sort of more of a writer's medium, and in feature films, which just because of the way they're made is still a little bit more of a director's medium. But having come from playwriting, where that was a whole different, the sort of playwright director relationship in stage writing was very different as well. I think it's all just an adjustment, and you got to just ride the sort of economic waves and try to tell the stories that you're interested in telling and get them out to audiences. There's lots of ways to do that now, which is great.
But do you feel that the lines are merging somewhat between TV and theatrical? It's not like the old days we watched on tiny analog TVs. Now people are watching, Comic Hero, Marvel blockbusters on 65-inch, 70-inch TV screens. Yeah. So you can get the spectacle, but you can also get the nuance of an ensemble drama on those big screens as well. So in some ways, you can have your cake and eat it to a degree with the way that the lines are merging.
Definitely. I mean, so many of it's you know, I think a common talking point in the business that kind of a lot of the stories that used to exist in feature film form are sort of migrating over into television. And now, yeah, even some of what we consider kind of big blockbuster films are finding a home on the small screen as well. And you're exactly right that the small screen is not always small with the setups that some people can have at home now. So, it's all changing so fast. And I do think just, you know, the emphasis is on good storytelling and the different formats, sort of whether it's a 2-hour chunk or a whole season of television, the different formats really dictate the style of storytelling, but there's enormous potential for innovation.
That's great to hear. And just one thing on a personal note, I did read somewhere, Corey, tell me if I'm wrong, that your partner is a nurse in New York. Is that correct?
She's a doctor, actually. She's a medical resident, so she's in training, but she is normally a psychiatrist. She's trained to be a psychiatrist, but because of the COVID epidemic, she's been pulled into COVID medicine and has been working sort of on the front lines. So she's far braver than me, and I've just been trying to be a supportive partner.
And on that note, I mean, I think it's wonderful. I've read that you've been meeting her with all the social distancing measures in place in the likes of Central Park, exchanging groceries and such like. Is this true?
Yes, we have been meeting in Central Park. I'm very impressed with your research and your sources here. It's like you've been talking to my friends and family. But yes, we've been in a way, it's very kind of romantic and melancholy. We've been meeting with our masks on in Central Park and standing 6 feet apart. And she's just finished her shift, so she is actually tomorrow going to move back into our apartment. And I'm very excited about that.
Wow, 6 feet apart. That sounds like the title of your next movie, huh?
And it might be.
Speaking of which, what's in store? Are you working on anything right now?
I am. I'm writing right now. So it's, you know, it's an interesting time where I think all the film studios are figuring out what ramping up production is going to be like. And I think just with pandemic related restrictions, it's going to be hard to film a crowd scene for a while. But yeah, I've been writing and working on a number of projects and a couple different genres, and we'll see which one is the next to go, as they say.
Well, Corey Finley, director of Bad Education, now showing on HBO Go and HBO across Asia. Thanks so much for being with us. Really enjoyed this conversation and wishing you continued success.
Likewise. It was a huge pleasure. Thank you, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.